Hey there everybody, welcome along to a very croaky Tech Talk UK. It is Sunday the 11th of February 2024. No idea what show number it is, 130 something.
137.
I've just looked it up. You got last week's one right, 2 weeks ago you got it wrong and I nearly typed it wrong, but you might be wrong. You probably are right. Sorry about the voice. I have, Jackie's been really ill. I've caught it now and sounds like it's the start for me, so hers has been pretty awful, so I'm hoping mine won't be, so my apologies for that. Going to just start off, it's almost that time of year again when I'm going to come on and, in Leo's words, beg for money. Only difference is I don't do it every week. We do it round about once a year, around my birthday, which is coming up in early March, only as a reminder, by the way. And I'm going to mention it on this show, and then in a fortnight's time show as well. I kind of use it. I you guys seem to want to know what I'm going to use it for as well, which I think is fair. I've just been for my annual diabetic checkup, and I've crept up a couple of points on the, not full points for anyone who's diabetic. I've gone to 7.4, which is last year was 7.1. So a little bit of a creep up, nothing disastrous. But I'd like to get back on board with those little things I slap on my arm. The Libre, and I'm also looking at Dexcom this year, but they're just horrendous prices. I haven't looked at the Dexcoms yet.
How much do they cost, Kim?
46. If they haven't put them up, which I shouldn't think they have, £46 every 2 weeks.
That's not cheap, is it? But yeah, they're good, aren't they? That's the thing.
The daft thing is, it shouldn't make any difference, but it very much keeps me on course, you know. So when I was wearing them. And basically that's what I did last year with everything people gave for the show. I put into those, you know, so I'm going to try and do the same this year. But I'll be at work and I'll be maybe a little bit stressed or whatever, and I'll think, oh, I've got to have a quick sugar rush, and I will go and do something silly. And just lately, for example, I've been thinking, oh, I'll just have a banana. And a banana is about the worst thing a diabetic can do. One of the worst foods.
Really?
Yeah, it really messes with your levels. Really, really strange. I always eat green ones, which is a little bit less messes a little bit less with it. But yeah, it's ironic. If you're taking insulin, you can actually get these on the NHS. Well, sometimes you can. As a type 2 diabetic, it's a bit of a challenge. Things will change, you know, and whenever they talk in tech about getting a watch to do it, although I don't think we'll actually ever see it accurately doing it, that would be such a big deal. The company that mastered that would be absolutely rich, but I think we'd probably
see, they are talking about that, aren't they?
They're talking about it, and I watched a really funny video on YouTube the other night. There's a diabetic guy on there, he's a type 1. I watch a lot of his videos, and he bought all the cheap watches on wherever, Alibaba or wherever, and he bought about four of them, and they said they measure your blood glucose, and when he was stable, he thought this is crazy. They're $50, you know, and $100. This is crazy. They work. And then as soon as he went low or high, they clearly didn't work at all. And he worked out later they were just literally randomizing the figure they gave. It's got to be a special place.
Not very helpful.
It's got to be a special place in hell for these people that make these in China, because ultimately, kill someone. You know, it literally could destroy someone's life if they actually believe that they would work.
At the very least, it could make them very ill, couldn't it? Or at least it could encourage them to let themselves get very ill.
Absolutely, and I don't think. I think hopefully people with diabetes are going to go and have a look, and they're not going to fall for crap like that. But it's not possible. Even blood pressure, which the Samsungs do, the Samsung watches do. And I was looking at that actually in the week, because I'm using the Pixel more and more. And I thought, oh, I'll get. There was a cheap Samsung watch on the forum on the MeWe forum, and I thought, oh, I'll have some of that. So I looked it up. Yeah, that would have been a waste of money. They don't actually, they only work, only get blood pressure monitoring with a Samsung phone.
And I know that when Professor Walsh, J.B. Walsh has been on PSC, he always says, well, yeah, they're okay, but sort of thing. And I mean, yeah. I've had correspondence with him, and he said there's only one wrist-borne thing that is actually even worth doing for blood pressure. So
yeah, you really need the arm thing. But the glucose things, they do work very well, you know, the Libres and the Dexcoms, they work incredibly well. So, yeah, I will spend the money wisely. I'm going to, if I can get enough, you know, for a couple of those or whatever, even a month would be good and maybe put me back on the straight and narrow. But I just can't at the moment. I simply can't afford to just go out and buy them.
I think it's not available on the NHS in any circumstances.
Only if you're a type 1 diabetic, generally speaking. If you're a type 1, then of course you are at real danger of going too low if you put too much insulin in. So they really are important. For me, it's the opposite. I want them for going high, you know, and then they if I quickly check that before I go to the machine, then I genuinely won't go and get that thing. I know it's crazy, really. And I could buy a separate blood meter for work, but I don't want to be sitting at work, you know, pricking my finger.
It's not crazy, is it? It's human nature that something like that is going to help you keep on the straight and narrow, because you can look at it and go, nah, better I don't do that or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that is.
Yeah.
Is very much understandable, to be honest.
Absolutely. Well, look, you just sent me £50, so I really appreciate
it.
I am.
I'm first in the queue, aren't I? Not really. Very kind.
I will immediately buy one. Right. Not right now. We'll finish the show. But thank you very much.
I'll finish the show.
Appreciate it. That doesn't mean everyone has to give £50, by the way.
It'd be nice if they did, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely, but no, I don't. You know, all I'll say is I will use it sensibly. I won't waste it. I don't even need to buy devices anymore because, you know, quite honestly, I'm pretty settled with this little combo that I've got here.
And there's also a fair amount you can play with and evaluate at work, isn't there? Even if you can't, you know, actually use them, you can see what they're like and describe them and so on.
Yeah, that is true. And and I mean, I've played with the S24 Ultra quite a bit. And I mean, it certainly means I don't have to do that little dance of where I buy it, you know, because I can play with it there. And I end up thinking, yeah, it's no different to the 23 Ultra, which I could probably pick up on MeWe for £500, but then I don't want one because it's too big. I finally seem to have found the ability to not buy something to go, oh yeah, this is too big for my top pocket. I actually seem to have worked out that I can work that out without actually physically buying it. But no, thanks for that. The address that you obviously sent that to me is obviously paypal.me/Kevright, KEVWRIGHT 2002. And that would be gratefully received. Thank you. So I'm going to see how I go with the croaky voice. You've got quite a lot to talk about with the Honor V2.
Honor Magic V2.
Magic V. I mustn't forget the word magic. I thought Apple were the ones that could claim everything was magic.
Well, I see the Honor, I think that they can usurp this idea. So, yeah, we can get around to that in a little while.
I don't know if you've been able to hear me, but I just found the microphone on the side rather than clipped to my shirt. So it may have just improved.
It got a bit louder. Certainly. I've just turned you down, actually.
Sorry. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, sorry about that, folks.
Not,
I'll equalise it.
So, but...
I'll equalise it. Yeah, it wasn't far away, but I realised I hadn't clipped it on yet. So you've got that. A little bit of a tale involved, I think.
Well, yeah, and I think in fairness to a very decent person, I'd better actually start at the very beginning, but that will make it a little bit of a case of a story. So not so long ago, probably 2-3 weeks ago now, I guess, Tim Evans put his Magic V2 into the forum and sort of said, yeah, here it is. It's great, very reasonable price. And said, well, you know, the latest OS has got Google searches in it. Well, I like to think I was quite good at Chinese phones, but after several bits of backwards and forwards, I just could not get Google services on it. And Tim was more than decent and basically had it back and sold it again. The subsequent purchaser did manage to get Google services on it, which, when I think back to all the Chinese phones I had 5 or 6 years ago where I'd hacked Google services on and whatever, I think I'm either losing it or else maybe I was too much under pressure trying to do it. But anyway, he was very decent.
I'm tempted to say any mammal could put a ROM on a phone, but I don't know. Mike Warner would approve.
The particular mammal in question just made various noises along the lines of, well, that's the risk when you buy a Chinese phone, which, to be fair, I think he was teasing me, and I don't doubt, knowing Mike, he would have been only too happy to help. But since I was, by this point, despairing of my ability ever to do it, as I say, Tim very kindly took it back.
Yeah.
So what I did learn in my short time with Tim's one is that the hardware is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, you've just shown me that on camera. We're not on camera for the whole show, but you just showed me that, and it is. I just finished listening, or I've just got through the section on PSC today with Ben Wood, who's got one and loves it, and he was saying that it was 4.8 millimeters thick when opened. But it's thinner than a Pixel 8 Pro, even when folded, isn't it? It's crazy.
Well, I'd guess it's about the same.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it is just ridiculous.
In your opinion, does that make it more fragile than, say, a Samsung? Would that be fair?
I think the fair thing to say here is that because of part two of the saga of Rich's Magic V2, I've actually had it since yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I haven't finished setting it up yet.
And the one you've got now is a UK one, is it?
Is a UK one, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So they've officially launched it in the UK.
Yes, they have. And in China, they're about to launch V3, apparently, but it'll take a while before that gets here, I'm sure.
And just for the record, for everyone listening who doesn't know, how much they're not £1,800 anymore, are they?
Well, if you know how to go about it, you can get them down to £1,200.
£1,200, okay, that's really interesting, because that's iPhone money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, theoretically, it's $16.99.
Yeah.
But they, if you sign up for information about it, they'll send you a £300 voucher to start with, and then they have a very unusual trading scheme. Where if you say you'd like to trade something in, they give you another £200 voucher whether you trade anything in or not.
Mm.
Which,
weird.
I thought, a bit odd, but never mind. I mean, I hope I'm not trading anything in. I haven't said I would actually trade anything in. I just said I'd be interested in trading something in. But we'll see. If they come back and say we'll trade something in, then I'll probably reluctantly have to send them
find
a something,
sure.
or something.
Yeah,
I think there's probably something like, I don't know. I think I've got a BlackBerry or somewhere. I can have that. Anyway, so I ordered it, and it was supposed to arrive on Thursday last week. But he got stuck in customs at Heathrow.
If it's a UK one, why is it stuck in customs?
Because they come from Germany.
Oh, interesting. Wonder why. Oh, okay. I guess that makes way more sense to centrally ship them from Europe, doesn't it?
I mean, if you try sending back a Google device, it goes to Poland. I mean, just because it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Our Bose repairs go to Belgium. It's crazy. Absolutely, they go to a place in Milton Keynes first, and then they get shipped to Belgium. Absolute madness. Must be cost them a fortune.
Well, and all the customs clearances, the re-import and re-export tax release must be an absolute pain to administer.
The first time I took a Bose, our UPS collections never used to be that reliable. So there's a little key cutting shop just down the road. So I used to jump in my car and take the things down so they got away for the customer a bit quicker. And the first time I did it, the guy said, "Oh, you haven't got all your import documents." And I'm like, "Mate, all I know is I print that label and you do the rest." And then he looked it up and he went, "Oh, yeah, everything. Oh, yeah, there's a little code on here and it takes care of everything." So there's obviously still quite a bit of cooperation between us and Europe, even though some people don't want there to be.
Yes, I expect that there's probably something that prints off half a dozen pieces of paper and goes in a plastic wallet and is stuck to the front or something.
Absolutely.
So that was the first thing. It was supposed to come in on the Thursday. Mm-hmm. So then they said, well, we'll deliver it on Friday. And that was a bit inconvenient because we were going out for the day on Friday.
Yeah.
So I waited until I got the email saying we'll deliver it between these two times, and then said, I'd like you to deliver it to the to a local convenience store. Now, unfortunately, there weren't any very local stores, nor were they very convenient, but I did find one that was about 3 miles away. And I expected I could come back that day and they would have delivered it to the convenience store. But no, even though they were told at 8:30 in the morning, they couldn't deliver it then. It had to be taken back to the depot and re-delivered on Monday because they don't work Saturday.
Right.
Well, that was a little bit disappointing from my point of view because on Monday morning at quarter to nine, I was on a plane going to Switzerland for 4 days. So we got to Thursday, and I got a text message saying, don't forget, you've only got 4 days left to collect your parcel from the convenience store, which, you know, I thought, well, that's fine. I'm coming home tonight. I can pick it up tomorrow. On Friday, I drove to the convenience store to discover that it was in a part of town I didn't know very well, and I can best describe it by saying that around the counter was a bulletproof screen. So it wasn't really the best place to park outside and leave your car outside. And the guy was very confused. And, yeah, we are a DHL collection point, but there's nothing here for you. And I'm going, well, look, there's all the emails. So he went away and spent about 2 or 3 minutes prodding things into his terminal, during which time a number of people piled up behind me in the queue, all looking, I have to say, somewhat intimidated. Whereupon he said, sorry, but it's been sent back. So I'm thinking, yeah, but your text message says I've got 4 days to collect it. So by now I'm thinking, oh, God, it's Friday lunchtime, and how am I going to get all this sorted out? But obviously they haven't got it, so I went back to the car and came back. But when I got back, I got an email from Honor saying, we've detected an abnormal delivery. You know, we're going to research it and find out what's going on. But if you've got any more information, ring us on this number. More in hope than expectation, I rang up, and the first thing I got was the usual classic VOIP call to somewhere, God alone knows how far away. Turned out it was a guy in California, which was a bit of a surprise. But once he started talking into the microphone, I could hear him fine, so I explained what had happened, and he was, oh, God, what a total cock-up, he goes. Leave it with me. I'll escalate it to our DHL manager. So Friday afternoon went, and I had heard nothing at all from Honor or DHL, so I was thinking, okay, Monday morning I'll have to chase it up. But then on Saturday, and bear in mind a week earlier, DHL had told me they couldn't redirect anything to be delivered on Saturday. Yesterday morning I get a text message saying your DHL parcel will be delivered today. So it came yesterday afternoon, which I have to say is quite a relief, really, and it is just a thing of beauty. I mean, I always... Well, I could best put it this way. When we both had P30s, the P30 Pros, I got very attached to Huawei phones. I had a P20 Pro before it, and they were both great phones. And for a short while, probably about 3 or 4 months, I didn't have an iPhone. I was perfectly happy with, I think it was the P30 Pro, but it could even have been the P20 Pro. And then, of course, the idiot in the White House decided to take against Huawei. Whether that was justified or not, I don't really know. But I think the way he went about it was in his usual diplomatic fashion, wasn't it? And so although I had a P40 Pro and very much liked it and was happy with it because I spent 2 or 3 hours hacking Google services onto it. But the problem then was, for reasons I won't bore you with because we've discussed them before, I felt the need to change my Google password. And That was fine, except it fundamentally killed Google services on the P40 Pro. I tried all the same things before, and it wouldn't go back on. I mean, it was quite a trial anyway when you put it on, because you would follow a process, and you had to literally time it to a fraction of a second when you hit a couple of key combinations. And I think from recollection, it took me 8 goes to get it on. And on the second, you know, after I changed the password, it just wasn't having it. And then, of course, Honor sort of was split off from Huawei. Now, I don't know how much I believe Honor has been split off from Huawei, because they keep producing phones that are remarkably like Huawei's. I mean, when I was trying to get Google services on the Chinese Magic V2, I at one point actually put in my Huawei account details, and it promptly loaded the Huawei app market. So, And the Honor app market looks very, very similar to the Huawei app market. But to be honest, I'm not really too fussed about it, really. It, That wasn't the issue. The issue for me was there are a number of Google services I use that I've got to have on a phone or it's useless to me. But anyway, obviously Huawei and Honor have at the very least got a very similar R&D program and develop their software in very similar ways. And whether or not this is all part of a giant hoodwinking exercise or not, I don't know. But it doesn't seem to have acquired the wrath of anybody in America so far.
I suspect that what's probably happened is that the companies have worked their way around it like that, and then the Biden administration have said, look, whilst we can't rescind the Huawei thing because that will look bad, we'll turn a blind eye to the fact that it's exactly the same company. Because I guess,
suspect you're right.
I guess Honor probably don't make stuff that goes on the masts and stuff. And that was the argument, wasn't it, with Huawei, is that they make stuff that goes in the boxes and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, to my mind, ban the network infrastructure. I can see a reason for that. Yeah. I understand that. Ban the network infrastructure, but I can't believe that my phone is a fantastic spying device for the Chinese government. And if it is, then probably things like my Ring camera are as well. I mean, I'm afraid the Chinese government is entitled to spend as much time being nosy about me as it wants to, because I can't stop it, and I can't see actually anybody can stop it. There's too much Chinese manufactured stuff in any given house anyway, isn't there? But anyway, be that as it may, as a result, I've now got a very, very nice folding phone, which has an interface that looks very, very like the P30, I have to say. If you tell it you want an app drawer, it even has the alphabetical list of apps down the side, you know? And I can't honestly say I've done very much with it yet, because although I got it yesterday, unfortunately I wasn't terribly well yesterday, but that's a different story. I feel a lot better today. All I've done with it is, all I've really done with it is log in and tell it to add apps, which it's done, so I haven't sort of customised anything how I want it yet. But
I think
Go on.
I was just going to say, going slightly back to the delivery, I think I fully understand once they've sent you an email, that means it's on the van. And can you imagine those poor guys if they had to keep watching their terminal? Oh, this guy wants it to go to this shop, and this guy, they just couldn't operate, could they? So I fully understand that.
Yeah, I do and I don't, because the email that I got gave the impression it could be redirected that day, but that may just have been me being over-optimistic. But although that's true, I told them at 8:30 in the morning, it surely could be they got to 3 o'clock and discovered they got 6 parcels and could have dropped one off. But yeah, they didn't. It was regardless of the rights and wrongs of it, and I can see their point, but it misled me, and I wouldn't have made the choice that I did if I'd realised, because for obvious reasons I knew I was going away on the Monday. Anyway, such is life. At the end of the day, they did pull their finger out and did deliver it on a Saturday, which if they'd been prepared to do it the one before, would have solved the problem a week ago. You know, easy to say, isn't it? I mean, so far, I've got to say, I'm astonished by it, because it's so light.
I guess that's always been the problem with folders. They're so heavy, aren't they?
Unfortunately, I put accidentally started the Angry Birds off, which comes pre-installed right now. It's a bit off now. It's very light. The screen is, I mean, you remember Huawei screens. The screen's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, back when I remember the P30 Pro, those screens were the exception. They're just not anymore. They're the norm now.
No, they're not.
On pretty much everything. So it's I've been talking a little while about how the Pixel screen, just a good old vanilla Pixel 8 screen just blows me away. I'm looking at it right now. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a great screen, isn't it? I agree.
And they used to be awful, the Pixels. Some of the early Pixels were Nexuses. They were awful screens.
Well, do you remember the one that had a blue screen? It was an early LG screen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a certain angle, everything had a blue tint. But no, I mean, a bit early to really comment on it very much. I'll be very interested what the camera's like.
According to PSC, Ben Wood took a Ben's had one since Christmas. And he took a whole load of pictures with it, which are, I think, in the show notes or linked to from the show notes, so you can have a little look at those. And apparently, very, very good indeed.
You'd expect that, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, do we expect anything else now? Basically, a good screen and a good camera are table stakes, as the Americans call them, I think, these days. They are
especially from Huawei, though. They always had good cameras before.
Yeah, exactly. They got great cameras, they got great screens, but we totally expect that now, and I'm not sure a phone would sell if it didn't have either of those, because there's a market out there for cheap phones.
Well, Ted would buy one for a start of.
A one what?
Well, Ted isn't fussed about cameras, does he?
Oh, sorry, they meant screens. Absolutely. He doesn't care. Nor do I come to that. I'm exactly the same.
The screen is much less noticeable than anything else I've ever had as well. It, obviously, you can see a fold on the screen, but it's not a deep one.
I think now I just keep quiet now, because ultimately I could never have a phone with a notch, and I could never have a phone with Dynamic Island, and everyone said you'll get used to it within 2 weeks, and I got used to it within 2 weeks. So
yeah, this is the thing you do, you know. I mean, especially these folds. I mean, when I look at the thing sort of in a natural angle of looking at it, you can't even see the fold. If I hold it at a certain angle where you can just about see it, you run your fingers across it, you can just about feel it, but not very much. It's very fast, it's very smooth. That's fine.
And I can't really see myself ever wanting a folding phone, because I would generally think if the iPhone or Pixel are too small at 6.1 inch. If they're too small, I'll use the iPad if I'm at home. If that's too small, I'll use the MacBook. And nothing, you know, beyond that, really. I watch everything on the MacBook. I watched Ipswich struggle to a draw yesterday. You mustn't forget to mention Ipswich. I watched them struggle to a draw yesterday, and, you know, I got the reading glasses on. The screen is 12, 13 inches, 14 inches from your eyes, and it feels big enough, you know. So I feel like what I'm trying to say is, you wouldn't. I bet you don't rub your finger across the screen that much. It's you'd open it up when you want to watch something.
I think that's right. I mean, there aren't that many circumstances. The only sort of thing I could see is sometimes if somebody sends me a PDF, I think, oh, I wish I got a bigger screen, because it becomes hard for you to zoom into it, sort of scrolling around the screen to read it. Why did I get it? Lots of reasons why I got it. I mean, firstly, I do like Huawei type phones, and this isn't a Huawei phone, is it? But we'll know. It probably has a lot to do with it. Also, the reviews. I just kept reading reviews that said to me, "You won't believe this when you see it," and there was no other way I was going to see it. And I suppose the truth be told, if I hadn't bought Tim's one and you know, played with that for a while, I might well have said, "Well, no, I won't bother. I'll wait and see." But once I'd actually had one in my hand, albeit that I couldn't get Google searches on it, which I'd still like to do a post-mortem on sometime, because I don't know why. Once I'd played with one, I just wanted to have one.
How much was Tim's one? What did that go for on the forum?
I think that's possibly a bit unfair on him to discuss.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I could appreciate that I might have upset him a bit on the way, and I'm not keen to rub salt in the wound. But, yeah, obviously he was selling it as a second-hand non-British ROM device.
It was
a discount over what I paid for it.
I guess what I was getting at is you initially bought it because it was cheap as part of...
I initially bought it because I was curious to play with it.
And it was a good price.
And obviously it was a good price, yeah.
Yeah, and then you had to spend much more than that to get one that you can use.
Which is probably the punishment for failing to go on the right website to find how to do it, but there you go.
I think you're in the class. I think it's probably fair to say that you're not hugely patient with these things and just want it to work, which is fair, I think.
Well, I think there's an element of truth in that. I like a challenge. And actually, do you remember who was the name? Do you remember I had one? It was probably like a Galaxy S4 or something like that, and it was a Meizu phone. No, that was a beautiful device. That was it really was a nice device, and I put a lot of effort into hacking that around. I think it's true, isn't it? A lot of these things, it depends how much spare time you've got, and lately I never seem to have any spare time, and I probably got.
I spent
a whole morning on it and thought to myself, well, really, you know, you just lost a working morning, really you're gonna have to call it a day. But anyway, that's a different thing. But I've now at least got one that, with a global rum on it. Hopefully I won't lose the global rum. That seems rather unlikely, doesn't it? It is a very lovely device. It doesn't feel particularly fragile. I mean, yeah, we'll find out, won't we? There is absolutely no gap between the two screens, except a very tiny little gap that you can just about see by the hinge. But I mean, it feels flat. It's a bit like the most recent Samsung do. There is no gap when it folds.
Yeah,
but I'd be very interested to see what the mechanics of that is, because it really is incredibly narrow and yet it still works. But we'll see. I guess over time it will become apparent, won't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've got a little.
Probably.
Got a little challenge for you.
Oh my God! Yeah, go on.
Challenge. Just picking up any phone. Pick up any phone. Everyone at home can play along with this. Pick up a phone.
Okay.
Any phone. You've got a few choices there, no doubt. I'm doing it on a Pixel. So candy bar. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Go to the mobilephonemuseum.com. It's called mobilephonemuseum.com. And this is Ben Wood's endeavours, which lots of people have sent devices to. And I heard him talking about it again, and I realised that he's just opened a physical space in Cornwall. So
yeah, he said he was going to try.
Yeah, difficult-ish to visit for most of us, I guess. But you know, if you're in that half of the country, then that side, that corner, then it's got to be worth a visit, I reckon, to see these things. But even the online site, I'd never visited it, so I went on this morning. Tell me when you're on there.
Click
visit full catalogue. Where it starts to list
full catalogue,
view full catalogue, and then go into filters and do year, and then slide the slider. Mine goes from 2000 to 2024. Slide that so it goes right back to 1980. And then you should start off with a Mobira Talkman ME50. And then the fourth one is probably the one most of us recognise, the VM1 from Vodafone. A lot of car traders used to have this, and they would literally carry the briefcase phone, essentially. What I want you to do is scroll down and find how far you have to go to find your first phone you recognise owning, or the first device, I should say, actually.
Well, the first device is a Sion Organizer 2.
Yeah, that's exactly mine. I wondered if you had one. I assumed you did.
I've still got it somewhere.
A little tip, if Ben's listening, he probably isn't, but a real picture of that might be nice. So the ones you haven't got, could you put a real picture in so people can see them, unless you just want to show clearly that that's the one you don't have, which makes sense, actually.
I'm not so sure. Sorry, an Organiser 2 was ever
no,
a phone.
No, it's obviously not a mobile phone, but I was just curious as to... I'd love to know in terms of... stick it on MeWe. I'll do the announcement of the show on MeWe, and stick it on MeWe in terms of how far down you have to go. That was position 15, by the way. The thing I found interesting is I carried on scrolling down and I couldn't really identify the first actual phone I had. I think the first one I could identify, oddly enough, was not one of the Nokias, but was the Rabbit phone. I don't know if you remember the Rabbit phone. But
I remember Rabbit. I was just about to buy one when they scrapped it.
When they scrapped it, yeah. They were the ones that... I can't even remember. Can you remember if they had a SIM or did you have to
No.
You could use them at home, couldn't you?
And, yeah, they were they were cordless technology.
They were just like a deck phone, really, weren't they? There were shops, and if they had a sign-up, you could go underneath
box
that.
Outside.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and you could actually use it.
I found what I think is my first phone.
Okay, where are you?
I'm in 1988, Panasonic EBJ1114, I think that would be one. That was an amazing device. It had a lead-acid battery.
Yeah.
And it gave you, and like a shoulder bag.
Yeah,
and it gave you about 25 minutes talk time. I mean, most of the time it was plugged in the car.
Yeah.
But it did come out and detach and do that. I'm trying to see the late. That's certainly about the right time. Oh, and an Atari portfolio. Same sort of time. That's also not a phone, of course.
Yeah. He's obviously including lots of devices, which I think is valid, actually, because, you know, a lot of these things, I remember when I had the organizer, it was far more interesting. I mean, I suppose phones weren't really, they weren't affordable for us. Unless you were in business, I guess your one was a business phone, your first one.
My one was, work supplied it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mine. So, you know, we couldn't afford these. They were, not only were they a fortune, I mean, it was probably £3 a minute to call.
I remember my first contract was, a phone made by NEC with a little flip-up aerial, quite dinky it was for its day. And the tariff I was on was £25 a month, and that was just connection. And then calls were on top, and that would be about 91, 92. I'll see if I can find it in a minute. And when Orange launched, the big selling point for Orange, and meanwhile, we started going digital. So for a while, if you had a digital mobile, your service area was much smaller than analog mobile. Mm. And in fact, for a short period, Vodafone had some sort of deal where, although you ended up paying 1.5 service charges, you had both phones. It was a bit of a faff. But when Orange launched, there's a phone I had there, the Ericsson EH97, that had a very bendy aerial. When Orange launched, their big selling point was that you got 60 minutes included in your £25.
Yeah.
So they were massively cheaper straight off. God, look at some of these, eh?
I know.
EH97,
really,
did you have one of those, Kerry?
A what?
EH97 Ericsson.
How far down that is that?
That's going to be about 92.
I seem to think that I had the first sort of recognisable phone, I'm pretty sure, was the GH337. From Ericsson.
Yeah,
I think that was the first sort of recognisable phone with a little stubby, not too bad aerial. I know it had a load of Sonys back in the day. I really, what this makes me regret is not keeping a full history of mine.
Absolutely.
I really wish I had kept a complete history, but I don't think I can even go back in the memory banks now and pull it out, because I'm sure I had some of these earlier phones as well, but I just can't remember having them.
Well, I mean, talking about that first NEC, I haven't come across it on this list, but I mean, I definitely have it for about 2 years. It was strange because the aerial was like a stubby aerial about, I suppose, 3 centimetres high, and it sort of folded down to 90 degrees into the top of the body. But I haven't seen that one yet.
No, so it's you might want to let Ben know, because he'll probably add it in if it exists and it's not.
Because I can't tell him the model, that's the trouble.
No, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, there's it's pretty. If you go a bit further down to the Ericsson, I'm pretty sure I had the GF388 because that had a flip on the front of it. Although, I don't know now. No, it was only sold in. It was only sold in the German market. A T39. I definitely had that.
I definitely
had a T39.
Nokia 2140. I mean. I'm quite surprised that there hasn't a picture of that, because that's the original Orange phone, isn't it? The 2140 was the Orange phone.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was the original Orange.
Was it? 2140? Has he not got the 2140?
No, he's got the 2110. But I had a 2110 on Vodafone and a 2140 on Orange simultaneously for about 3 months.
I guess maybe if there's lots of sub brackets, he just didn't put them all down. The Nokia 121, I'm pretty sure I had that. With the pull-up aerial. Yeah, I had definitely had a Nokia 121. Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't. I had a one, I must have had a 101. The 121 was a business variant. This is great.
It's going to be a small period, Kev, where we had all of these phones.
Yeah, there will, without a shadow of a doubt. And I remember steps. So I sort of remember buying my first I don't remember the actual first phone. I remember the first one with an infrared modem, so I could use it with the Scion organisers. Not the organiser, actually, by then, would have been the 3A or the 5A, or the 5A.
I think there was a period in my career in phones where I got to know John Morris very, very well, because he was a dealer in phones for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's set me up with quite a few contracts over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely bloke. Very nice.
Indeed,
bloke.
Indeed. Yeah, it's, I just recommend everyone go and look. And we hear about this thing from Ben every, you know, a couple of times a year on PSC, which is great. Yeah. And I'd never been there. I thought, oh, yeah, that's a great concept. And then I just, while I was listening this morning, and I haven't got any further than PSC in the first 20, just the first 20 minutes, really, but really interesting.
I've just got to one of my first favourite fans, the Nokia 9000 communicator.
Yeah, which now was, I didn't have that, like a, or the 9100. I think the first one I had was the 9110, something
like that. Well, the 9000 didn't even have Symbian. It ran GEOS.
Yeah, I definitely didn't have that.
And actually, it was really weird, that one, because when I got it, I thought, oh, God, this is a bit expensive and it's bulky and whatever, but yeah. It was a gadget I wanted to play with. And it was fantastic because it paid for itself within about a month, because I was on holiday in France and I'd got a client who wanted a bit of work doing there and then. And the only way they could get this to me, I mean, we didn't have email or something, I don't know, but they sent me a great long fax on this Nokia 9000. And then I spent an evening working on something and sent them something back. I can't quite remember the full ins and outs of it, but it paid for the phone, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It meant the client didn't go anywhere else, so it definitely paid for the phone.
I've only got one feature request, really, for the site, certainly on the Pixel, and I imagine on mobile. If you do 1980 to 2024, and then you're scrolling down, and you suddenly get, you know, 4 years, 5 years down, actually two little things. If it could move the date line, that would be really, really helpful. But more importantly, when you go to look at one and have a look at the details on it and then swipe back, very, very beginning rather than remembering where you were, which is a tad frustrating, but absolutely brilliant, brilliant thing. And it's
great. The amount of money I've wasted on phones over the last 30 years. I could have retired years ago.
Absolutely. It's mobilephonemuseum.com. Highly, highly recommended.
Well done, Ben.
Well done, Ben. And thanks to everyone that contributed and sent stuff off. I know a lot of our friends have. R380S, that was a lovely phone. That had almost certainly had the infrared modem, I think.
I'm a bit surprised he doesn't have a photo of a sign Series 5.
Well, I don't know whether he puts photos. I think the reason he doesn't put a photo, then he can just have a generic thing. And that tells us that he hasn't got one, so we can send him one if we got one, I guess, which I don't any longer. But I do have an Organiser 2 that still works. And I do have not the Series 5, but the Ericsson version of it. And actually, the Organiser 2, I'm not probably told this story before, but the Organiser 2, when I was at Ford, which was from 1980 to 1990, I was finance manager. I wrote a completely... Ford bought Options to the UK, which was the first ever PCP, and they literally bought it to the UK. I was in on the initial American launch. The Americans all came over and launched it over here. And I remember clearly that all the business managers loved the idea, and all the dealer principals that were at the meeting said, oh, good, we can upgrade people to the top model and make more money, which wasn't really the point of that. But that's what's happened over time. Looks like some of those finance companies are about to lose a lot of money or pay a lot of that money back that they made out of that back in the 80s and 90s, that's for sure.
I can't remember quite what they've done wrong. Is it mis-selling or something?
No, I'll tell you in a sec. But just while I remember, I wrote a whole... The options calculator that we had was really complicated. So I wrote one for the Organiser 2, and at least two of the sales guys went and bought an Organiser 2 based on the fact that I would give them my programme and they could type a few little details in. The only thing I couldn't crack was the APR calculation. And I finally got through the Ford finance rep. I finally got to their programming department, and they said, you'll never, ever find the formula for that because there isn't one. It's a lookup table. So from that point on, I just took APR out and we didn't use it officially anyway, the little program. My only regret is I wish I didn't keep any of the little RAM packs that you put in the organizer too.
I haven't got any of those either.
No, so I've lost the app. Otherwise, I guess it would still work. It wasn't called an app then; it was called a program. It's all written in
program. Yeah,
yeah, it's all written in OPL, which is basically basic.
It's basic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's name, just basic at the end of the day. What the finance companies have done wrong is back in the 80s, 90s, and later. Until 3 or 4 years ago, when it stopped, the dealership would have a base rate. So our base rate would be 5% per annum, not APR, but 5% per annum. That is your base rate. If you want to sell it to your customers at 10% base rate, you get the difference between the 5 and the 10. Very simple. The dealership's got the money. So I don't know what's going to happen with this investigation, because ultimately the dealerships were the ones that got the money. So I don't know if a lot of car dealerships are about to get a huge bill. I suppose it would depend on the T's and C's of the finance companies, because it's the finance companies that are getting investigated, not...
And if it goes back that long, an awful lot of these dealerships won't be in business anymore.
Oh, yeah, they just won't be there. So it will, I guess, be the finance companies for putting that sort of scheme into place. And I mean, I don't looking back, we didn't think we were doing anything wrong at the time, and it wasn't, you know, the businessman just didn't have a say necessarily in what they charged. The company said, look, this is the thing. And as time went on, there was a, you know, I can certainly remember APRs back in the 80s, early 80s, APRs of 35% weren't unheard of. Yeah, on a car, on a used car especially. In the last 10 years, I've had people at work asking me, you know, is it worth me putting a claim in? I said, well, yes, but have you ever had, if you've had in the last 10 years, a manufacturer scheme at 2.9, 3.9, 7.9, you won't get a penny, because they are not discretionary commission-based deals. I remember as I was coming up to my time, end of my time as a finance manager, they were bringing in a law that said if a customer asks you how much commission the company are making, you have to tell them. But if they don't ask, you don't have to volunteer it. And then I believe after I left that side of things, I believe they had a rule saying you must give the customer a piece of paper with the amount of commission that you are making, or saying we are making commission. I don't think you had to declare the amount ever, but you had to say we are making commission on this finance. Ultimately,
that does seem reasonable, doesn't it?
It does seem reasonable. The bottom line is that dealerships, I mean, on average, a dealership when all said and done, they have a return on income of about 3% or less. So literally, in most cases, the people could just put their money into a savings account and earn more. It's assuming they have the money in the first place. So the return on a car dealership isn't huge, or wasn't back in those days, because obviously I saw the figures. You know, it certainly wasn't the sort of money earner. So things like commission from finance were a huge, huge deal. I mean, bearing in mind they had four, you know, this Ford dealer was at one point the biggest Ford dealer in Europe. Ipswich one. It was the brand new Ford thing, brand new Ford build dealership. Looks very dated now, but God, back in the 80s, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. So they, you know, they, I don't know really. I mean, it's a while back since I was in that business. Someone said to me this week, actually, we got talking about it, would you go back into the motor trade? And I'm like, God, I hope not. I really hope not. I mean, that's all I know. If I did lose this job, I would probably have to, because I don't know anything else. Although the more I think about it, the clearer I am actually that if I did lose this job, I'd probably have a go on my own. Probably set something up in terms of computer tuition or setups and things like that. I've got customers all the time asking me, "Can I have your number?" and give you a call. You know, I had a customer the other day saying that, oh, we've got a guy that does it, but he's retiring. Would you be interested? And I'm like, no, I can't really, not at the moment. But, you know, can I keep your, you know, give me your number personally and I'll give you a call if I ever do it. And they're like, oh, yeah, please do. You know, so I think that's what I'd do probably, I think, if it came to it.
Let's hope it doesn't come to it.
Oh yeah, I don't want it to come to it because I wouldn't earn anything like I'm earning now. So
And I'm sure JR has its faults, but it's by all accounts supposed to be quite a nice place to work on the whole. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just absolutely. I just did every year we have a survey that's done, you know, of all the staff, and this year they've gone for partners. Sorry, not staff. This year they've gone for they're going to do three much. It was very, very long and boring last time, so nobody, you know, a lot of people just didn't do it. But this year, and I mean, there was 18 questions, and I put 10 out of 10 for about 9 of them. I only put 1-0 on the whole thing for the whole 18 questions. Everything else was sort of 7s and 8s, you know. So, yeah, for me, I think it's, I mean, my scores are much higher than the rest of my department. But, yeah, that's my view on it. Is it still? I think, unfortunately, a lot of people who work at John Lewis maybe haven't worked in retail anywhere else. So they don't necessarily know how good they've got it, I think, probably.
Yeah, that's quite likely, isn't it, really? Because I mean, you hear some horrendous stories. I mean, I can't imagine you rushing off to be a staff member at PC World just on the basis of what you see when you go there.
Yeah, I mean, you probably remember I worked there for a few months when my dad...
Yeah, you didn't much like it, did you?
When my dad passed, and it was... you know, it was so different. I mean, I've worked in retail before. I mean, I consider all the garage stuff to be retail. Ultimately, it is retail. But I started out in retail. I've most of the time I've done it. And, you know, most of the places, when I was at PC World, I had little 19-year-old kids trying to tell me what to do, you know, and they didn't know their ass from their elbow. And it didn't really work either because I mean I was only there for a few weeks anyway. It was just it was just bloody hard work and no appreciation of any sort, which I think a lot of retail is, but that's a little bit different at John Lewis. Very different, actually. And the first question on the survey is, would you recommend John Lewis as a place to work? And I thought, absolutely, 10 out of 10, you know, absolutely no question. Yeah, I think it's a really nice atmosphere and everything, actually. So, yes, very happy at the moment. And we finished the year just ended for us. So our year runs till the end of January. And we're sort of into week two now of the new year. And we ended up on our department, ended up as third overall out of 34 or 33, really, because one of the stores doesn't really do setups anymore. They've decided not to do them for various reasons. Mostly they went through a huge 7 or 8 month refit, so it's very hard to do them. Third out of 33, and we've sort of kicked the new year off with fourth position. Not that it matters for the first few months, because that's obviously everything changes quickly. So yeah, really pleased with that, and we get some recognition because of that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Can't complain at the moment. There's a few problems, you know, in the public information that we take a lot of money through the tills. We don't make any profit, which is a little bit of a problem. But they are working on that. And all I say to anyone, customers often ask me, you know, oh, I see you're getting rid of another 11,000, and I'm like, look, every time you read something, like, just go and research it if you really want to know, but don't immediately believe it, because the thing about the 11,000 is it's been plucked from the air. We all knew about the fact that there'll be less partners. We all knew about that 3 months ago because we were told directly from the chairperson. And more importantly, most of it is going to be through naturally not replacing people. You know, we did used to have way, way too many people on the shop floor. When I started, we genuinely did have too many people for a large part of the day. There was just sort of 7 or 8 people standing around doing nothing. We did lurch a little bit too far the other way at my branch, but it's all getting nicely sorted now, and we're back to a sort of a nice stable number, you know. But they really did have too many people, which is obviously a terrible idea because it's your biggest cost always, of course.
Once you've paid for the rent, then that is your biggest cost.
Yeah, isn't it? Absolutely. And when you consider. I'm not going to go into details about it on the podcast. When you know what my pension deal is, it's one of the very best. Unless you're a government employee, where obviously you're golden, but unless you're it is one of the very best.
Short of that, though, it's a good scheme, isn't it?
It's incredibly good, and I keep urging all the youngsters to just get into it now, even if you only put a couple of percent in, just get into it. But even if you put nothing in, after 3 year service, they'll be putting a decent chunk in for you anyway, even if you don't put a penny in. So not a lot of places do that anymore.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. They don't, do they? And you know, people tend, we're getting to be two sad old gits, aren't we? But the fact of the matter is people don't pay enough attention to what to put in a pension.
No, and, I certainly haven't.
You know. Nobody has, Kev. Mm. I mean, when you're 63 like I am, or nearly 63 like you are, it starts to get towards the pointy end, doesn't it, really? Hang on a minute. What am I going to live on in a few years' time?
I think we'll be okay, because obviously we're going to get conscripted soon. Do you reckon we'll be called up? I don't know whether I'm up for it, really. If I'm honest, I'm pretty good at PUBG Mobile. I feel like I could, you know, as long as the airdrop is in a quiet area so I can get some guns first, I think I'd do okay.
I've got a problem in that, obviously I've mentioned it before, I'm a licensed radio ham. And actually, when and if I ever do retire, I want to take that up again, because I've done very little of that in the last 30-odd years. But I know in previous conflicts, radio amateurs were some of the first people they conscript, because they want communications people. But I suspect those in their 60s with arthritis who have trouble sort of being very, very rapid moving are not going to be, well, I hope they're not going to be top of the list.
Yeah, we are joking, by the way. I don't think we'll ever see subscription. We see plenty of them. I don't think we'll see any conscriptions. It is mildly amusing seeing the people freaking out about it, as if it's, you know, it's like no way are any of them going to go and fight.
On the basis we've got no equipment with which to fight a war, and when we try to deploy our aircraft carrier, we discover we can't, because we can't get enough staff for the support vessel. I mean, what's the point? What's the point conscripting anybody, because they can't do anything about anything anyway? It's all a bit of a mess, if you ask me, but.
Absolutely.
I fear rather more for my grandchildren in Norway, where they do still have military service, but they're not old enough yet, so we kind of hope that it doesn't happen.
I noticed, going back to tech, I noticed that I updated my Pixel today. I don't know why my Pixel doesn't tell me that there's a thing there. Oh, by the way, I was going to mention, I ditched... I feel bad, really, but I ditched the old Guardian subscription this week. I'm basically getting rid of Amazon Prime. £9 a month for that. £7.
That's not part of that, though, is it?
No. £7 for the Amazon, for the thingy, you know, for the Guardian thing. And I mean, I do read it. Don't get me wrong, but I just money is tight, and I don't. All these subscriptions, we were just saying about conscription, they add up. The thing about the reason I'm getting rid of Prime is, A, I order very, very little now. Is Jackie's going to be more upset than me, because she orders tons of crap from Amazon. But I've said to her, I'm cancelling it at the end of the month. When you go to cancel, if you cancel, I just paid about 3 days ago. And when you go to cancel, if you cancel now, you'll lose it all. Cheeky, absolute scumbags. The more I think about Amazon, the more I hate them. I really do.
Can I ask you a question? Have you ever used the wonderful press reader app?
No. but I am going to dig it out again. I've got it somewhere, or I had it before.
For example, my local library subscribes to The Guardian.
Exactly.
Obviously, yesterday's, of course.
I think it's just a matter. I'm not on the breadline, obviously, but I've got.
You don't want to get there either, do you?
Yeah, don't want to get there. I've obviously got the situation with housing at the moment. If the landlord here wants his house back, we're up again for renewal in April. Who knows what that will bring? If he wants that back, you know, we're suddenly going from £650 a month to well over a grand, just out of the blue, because there's not going to be anything remotely similar. For under a grand around Suffolk, you just got to sort of watch it, you know, you just got to keep your eyes on it, I suppose. But so I got rid of that. The thing that really prompted Amazon cancellation was the fact that I've been watching Reacher season 2. Absolutely love Reacher. Loved all the books. Absolutely hated it when Tom Cruise got the role in the films, because he's 4'6" and Reacher is meant to be a 6'7" giant.
He's not your image.
No, absolutely not. And they weren't bad, actually. They weren't as bad as you think. But, watching Reacher, it's an eight episode season. Got to episode 4, quite happily watching it. Got halfway through episode 4 and sort of almost nodded off. So I thought, all right, I'll catch up tomorrow. Turned it on the very next day. Yep, you got a nice advert before you can start watching it. 1 minute, 30-second adverts. Oh, would you like to pay $2.99? No, Amazon, you can just get stuffed, basically. I would not like to pay $2.99 more on top of it. You can just get stuffed. And I used to question why people buy dodgy TV packages and to get everything for free, and now I start to understand why they do. Because
I got a similar problem with YouTube Music, which I use, and I did something to me before when I had Google Music. Basically, you can have YouTube Music on so many things, but you're only allowed to deauthorize so many devices in a year, after which they refuse to let you load it. So,
I've got a possible solution for you in a minute.
Well, So on the S24 Ultra, for example, it loads up, it lets me log in, and then I go to play something. And it's having nothing of it, because it says, you've got too many devices. And I'm going, I mean, you'd think Google, of all people, would be in a position to know how many devices I've got this on. And you probably would guess as well that it knows exactly where all those devices are. And, I mean, when I talked to them about this with regard to Google Music, they were, we'll do it as a concession. And I'm thinking, words I can't use on a podcast, but get lost. I'm paying for this every month, and I'm not trying to scam you. And, you know, they were saying, but you could load this onto loads of devices and sell them with access to your music. And I'm going, but it'd only be access to my downloaded music, wouldn't it? And anyway, have you got any evidence? So this happened to me last month, and they, as a concession, added it back. And now I've got the same thing on the Magic. Well, you know, how can I put it? If I wanted to rip off Google, I don't know whether I can think of a way I could do it, but it certainly wouldn't be by buying phones and then selling them with a load of dodgy logins to YouTube. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Do you have the family plan?
On YouTube? No. Yeah.
Oh, well, upgrade to family plan and then just open a new Gmail account.
Yeah, I could do that, but the problem is that my YouTube Music comes to me as part of my Vodafone subscription. So I've got 6 months left on that. I'm stuffed, basically.
You're effed. You're effed.
I mean, the bit that I really don't like about this is I can deauthorize the item. If you let me take off the things I don't use, I won't be anywhere near the limit. But no, you insist on including my Pixel 7 Pro, which of all companies in the world, you ought to know, is now being used by somebody else. It's crazy. So I'm not very happy with them. So, I mean, I saw the other day that somebody got a place you could buy gift cards to sign up to Spotify in Egypt. And I was thinking, well, I've never actually done that. And to be honest, part of me doesn't really approve of it. But It is rather frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, that's why I kept fairly quiet when you said ripping off Google, because, I mean, I go through India still, so it's £1.87 a month. Well, so.
But when my card expired, I couldn't add it back in, so I was kind of stuffed on that one.
Ukraine is apparently the place at the moment, isn't it, or something?
Apparently. I have great sympathy for Ukraine, and I have done quite a lot to support people from Ukraine, but it does have to be said, I'm not entirely sure that picking YouTube music for Ukraine is the right place to be.
Well, I think my thing about, I don't feel that guilty about doing it, because ultimately these companies are taking the piss out of us. They're deciding they can charge us $12.99 a month, and they can charge Indians. You know, they are all. The more I think about it, you know, big tech, as they're called, they're just nobody's friend at the end of the day. I'm going more that way, and they're now at the levels where they're making, you know, Apple will make $33 billion revenue, maybe
more
not
than that, but, I think. More than that,
but then
they made 60 something, didn't they?
I don't know, but then Wall Street will say, "Oh, you missed it by $4 billion, so your shares are going to go down."
Well, that happened with Google. Like they missed expectations by not very much, and their share price fell by 7%.
Yeah.
And all I can really say is, if I'd known this at the time, I probably would have bought some Google shares, because it's ludicrous to have a 7% reduction in the share price. I can remember there was an article in the news a few years ago about how Marks and Spencer's only made £250 million profit this year. And I was thinking, you know, hang on a minute, how many days a year were, it's making two-thirds of £1 million a day. That's not a disaster. It might not be three-quarters of £1 million a day, but it's still not a disaster. So, yeah, these things are all relative, aren't they? But this one just really gets me, because the only way I'm going to get them to reinstate it is by making a huge fuss now. And frankly, I've got better things to do, I did even think of maybe buying myself a spare pair of AirPods, because then you get 6 months worth of Apple Music. But then I thought, no, you've paid for this until the end of August, so why should you be forced to doing something like that? If anybody has any ways of getting around this that don't involve spending hours pleading with Google, or indeed any bright ideas as to where I can get a cheap Spotify login or something, maybe I should do that.
There's a 3 month Spotify thing doing the rounds. I got it this morning. Yeah, I can't remember where I got it, but I definitely suddenly got offered 3 months. There it is, Spotify. Enjoy 3 months. Oh, hang on. If you've had Spotify Premium before, you can go do one. It says right. So why send me, knowing that I've had it before? Why would you send me that email? Well, this is what I don't like about tech companies. Well, they know all this stuff.
But presumably you just got to use a different email address. I forgot to mention something else about Honor and how you got the voucher from them. That was hysterically funny, that was, because Honor says, if you've had an Honor device before, you can tell us the serial number of this device, and we'll give you £200 off. In fact, they subsequently increased this to £300 off. But wait for this.
I know, I've seen it, yeah.
Do you know how I got this?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. I think so.
Well, basically, it gives you an example of where to look at the serial number on a device.
Yeah.
And there's a serial number on there. And if you put the serial number on there out of the illustration, it says, oh, great, there's your voucher.
Yeah, there you go. So, which tells you what you need to know, which is exactly what they planned. That's not a mistake, is it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it tells you.
If you're
totally stupid, you can pay some more, but you can get the price down if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know...
It did make me laugh.
Some people are, you know, there are people listening to this that probably paid £1,800 for a Pixel Fold, and I think I saw one the other day for about £900 on the forum. So somebody somewhere has lost £900.
Yeah.
And maybe the Pixel, I don't know, maybe the Pixel Fold did come with some offers to bring it down to 1500 or whatever. Who knows? I'm not immune to this, because obviously I did the same with an S23 Ultra. You know, I paid full price. I was paid $1,099, I think. And I don't know, sold it for $750 or something like that, I think. So we all do it. I mean, it's not, it's not unique.
No, not at all. Which is what I was kind of getting at. If I bought one phone every 3 years to last 30 years, I'd probably be quite a lot wealthier now. But still, wouldn't have had much fun meanwhile, though, would we?
Well, I think I do look now, and I like yourself and others on our little back channel. I do. I'm jealous. I'm not jealous of you guys being able to afford the things. I'm jealous of having that you guys have still got the enthusiasm to chase these things around.
No, I do know what you mean, Kev, because a lot of these phones are very much evolutions of before. I mean, I got an iPhone 15 Pro. But as much as anything else, it was me being stupid, but as much as anything else, I was thinking, if I get that, I can get rid of lightning cables. and of course, you might think, well, yeah, why is this such a problem? It's because I live in dread of stuffing the wrong cable up the back of the wrong device.
Yeah.
However, there was a small point I hadn't thought about. That is, I've got an iMac, and the iMac comes with a Bluetooth keyboard and a Bluetooth mouse, and guess what? They got lightning cables. And in fact, you still can't buy you certainly couldn't.
No, I don't think so.
Bluetooth keyboard and whatever. So you're stuck.
You can get an adapter though, can't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
A little tiny itsy bitsy adapter.
Yeah, that's probably true. I just thought I can get rid of them, and so let's do it, you know. Not really a very good reason at all, is it? And I think increasingly there isn't actually a reason to change them, which is probably why you don't have the same enthusiasm as you had before. That and, boringly but truthfully, finances are something we'll have to look at. We've had a huge amount of inflation in the last few years, haven't we?
Yeah.
And so that does limit what you want to spend on anything. I don't mean you, I mean anybody. And so I think it's very understandable that things don't change so much. Plus, there is very little radical evolution in the design of these things. You know, I mean,
yeah.
What can you say that this has got over that? Well, it'll be something, but it's probably not very much. And so you do have this sort of constant thing. Well, why would you change it? And to be honest, I do quite like folding phones. I think I'm not quite ready to say I'd rather have a folding phone than not, but what it tells me is that there are occasions that I use them where they are actually quite useful to.
Mm.
And so that's one of the big reasons I wanted to play with the Magic. I thought, well, yeah, that really does look quite interesting.
I think that my reaction to not wanting these is because I simply can no longer afford them. So I don't think, you know, I think, so let's put it another way. If I won the lottery last night, it would have been a miracle because I don't do the lottery, but let's say I won $100,000. I'm not greedy. If I won $100,000, would I suddenly have a Magic 2? Yeah, I would. I would still get them. You know, it is obviously you have to live within your means. You know, otherwise you're going to have a problem. I've got a little test for you. You've applied to be a tech support person at John Lewis. And you're on your interview, and I'm going to pose you a little question now. A real world question. Customer comes in to you, or the salesperson comes out the back and says, oh, can you come and talk to this customer? They bought an iPhone here about 3 months ago, and all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, they can't hear any phone calls that come through. Can you come and have a look? So you go over to the tech desk and you grab the iPhone. They explain the same thing to you. What do you do? What's your first thing you do when you are faced with this?
Turn the volume up.
Turn the volume up. Yeah. After that, what would you do if that was perfectly fine? What would you do next?
Look for a piece of inconveniently placed fluff.
The speaker grills are fairly well protected on that, but you've had a little look, yeah, given it a little blowout with an air canister, and then you do a little test call, and sure enough, on speakerphone, it's absolutely fine. Hear them lovely, so you know the speakers are not blocked up, but you can't hear through the earpiece at all.
When you say earpiece, you're talking about
the top.
Part of the phone, not something plugged into.
Yeah, actually, you've tried Bluetooth headphones and they work perfectly.
So you've tried Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
No, I'm beginning to get stuck now. I think I've got some reasonable suggestions, but obviously not good enough.
So the clue, I'm going to give you a clue. It's got a screen protector on it. It's an iPhone.
The screen protector is over the speaker.
Yeah, the screen protector's upside down. Now, on Friday last week, not this week gone, week before, on Friday, someone came in with that very, very same inquiry. And I'm looking at the thing and I'm going into accessibility and making sure there's nothing under hearing.
How was speakerphone working? I suppose it's coming out.
Comes out of the bottom, isn't it? So they said it works on Bluetooth headphones fine, with a hearing aids, actually, as it happens. Bluetooth hearing aids works on that. And there's a you see there's a screen protector, so you don't think too much of it. It's a screen protector. It's a screen protector. And you look at it and you go, yeah, okay, you try these other things. And then all of a sudden, the husband says, don't forget you took that screen protector off the other day and refitted it. And because the thing was, it hadn't happened from day one. It had happened 3 days ago. Started happening three days ago. They put it back on.
That's a pretty good indication it might be something to do with that, then, isn't it?
And this screen protector was probably about 30 pence off a market stall somewhere. It had the tiniest little cutout at the top for the, you know, the very top for the speaker to poke through. It had no cutouts, interestingly enough, for the camera array or for the Face ID array. It was an iPhone 13. So it had no, right. So that had to, that was working absolutely fine through this flimsy bit of plastic, apparently. Long conversation, short. I said, look, the only way I can fully test this is to remove your screen protector. And fine, take it off, you know, no problem. And sure enough, it works absolutely fine. On the following day, on the Saturday, different salesperson came out and said, got a customer, exactly the same problem. And at first I thought it was the same person, to be honest. I thought, oh, that didn't work. That's sad. But a different person, go out there. This time, of course, I'm right on it, straight from the get-go. I take a look at this thing. This one is more disturbing in the respect that it's an iPhone 11. And the 11 screensavers, for some reason, I don't quite know why, it's the iPhone 11. They have a giant, they have the bathtub cut out. They literally have the whole thing cut out of the screen protectors. This other one didn't have that, but I think mostly on an iPhone you should have that. I think now you can have just the cut out on the dynamic island, which I just wouldn't. Have you got one on your Pro Max?
Screen protector, yeah.
Yeah. Is it got just a little cut out for the island or...?
No, it just goes straight over it.
Oh, it covers it, does it?
Yeah, and it works fine.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this other lady's one was working fine through the plastic, and yours will be a good quality glass one, so I'm guessing that's fine now. But yeah, for some reason, the 11s had a... Every screen protector I've ever seen for the 11 have the actual same shape as the screen. So this was so obviously upside down. I actually had to, just to be nice, I had to go through a few look, sort of pretend things before I suddenly noticed that, oh, hang on a minute, look, can we take this off? Oh, yeah, I've got another one at home. And you just think, you know, oh, my goodness, you've put it on upside down. The first one.
How do you delicately sell somebody? They've put it on upside down, and that's what.
Yeah, that's what I had to do. But the very first one, which had the terrible screen protector on, it was a puzzler, because I said, who did this screen protector? And it was one of these shops in the middle of town that had done it for them, you know, and charged them like 30 quid or whatever. And I thought, how on earth could they put it on upside down? And then it was only when the husband said, oh, yeah, don't forget, it came off, it almost came off in your hand the other day, and you took it right off and put it back on, didn't you? And she was saying, no, I didn't. I didn't take it right off. I just stuck it back down. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's weird.
That's how it's upside down then, yeah.
Yeah, so that obviously is how it's upside down, because, I, you know, the guys in the shop wouldn't have done that. They put hundreds of them on every day. And we had a good laugh about it, and Timmy, it's just... It just goes to show, really, that sometimes the very simplest thing. I was quite surprised by how much this very flimsy piece of... sorry, I just touched the microphone there. I was very, very interesting how that tiny bit of plastic literally blocked out. You couldn't hear a thing. I tested it myself, you know, with the guy. The husband went over the other side of the shop floor and called the number, and I tested it, and... Yeah, it absolutely crazy. Absolutely
totally
crazy.
Totally destroyed it.
Yeah, absolutely killed all the volume, and it was the thinnest piece of plastic you've ever seen, really. It was just a horrible, horrible screen protector.
Amazing they would pay that much for it, because, I mean, you get a nice glass one, they don't cost you anything like that.
It's convenience, isn't it? You'd also be amazed. Yeah. You'd also be amazed that they pay us £30 to set their phone up, I suppose.
Well, less so, but I mean, compared with, I mean, I did on one occasion have Apple when I picked up, I forget which iPhone it was. I put me on a speech and screen. And I thought, I know I'm going to pay too much for this, but on there, and it'll be done. And they put it on, and he goes, "Oh, I've got a bit of a bubble under there, but I don't suppose you'll mind that, will you?" No, if you're going to charge me that much, I want it done properly.
Yeah,
Cheek, frankly. I wasn't very impressed. I've never done it since. I've never asked since, actually. I just thought, no, it's just ridiculous. If you're going to offer that service, you've got to deliver.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think I'm going to have to, unless you've got anything pressing that we've forgotten, my voice is now, I'm starting to struggle big time now. I have to have a slightly sort of shorter slow.
Yeah, one of those, yeah.
Yeah, unless you've got anything else that you can think of.
No, nothing too drastic. Maybe if we wrap this up, there's a couple of things I wanted to run past you afterwards about the show, but... far more secretive than it is, but let's call it a day, and we'll be back in a fortnight.
Okay, so don't say any of those things for a minute then, because I've got to work out how to stop this thing and start it again when I can't see half my bloody laptop screen because FaceTime has taken it over, and I have no idea.
Down the bottom right-hand side of the... Apple toolbar, you've got your open windows there, haven't you?
Hang on.
You click on one of those. And
where am I going? Where am I going? To the Apple thing?
Toolbar along the bottom.
Hang on.
You should be able to minimise and maximise from there.
Here we are. I've got that. Screenshots, mobile phone numbers. So if I go onto FaceTime, you mean?
Yeah.
And then tap it. It's options, keep in dock. No, show all windows, hide. Hide. No, I think that just hides it out of the dock. So according to this, I've got five FaceTime windows open. I think this might be the problem.
You've got to find the right one.
Yeah, I got
so
you.
We can't finish the show, folks, because Kev can't work out how to actually get to it.
I've literally got a little sliver where I can just about see that this show has been recorded. And this all comes around because you ought to show me that bloody phone of yours, which does look very impressive. Wow. I can't lie. All right, look, people, lovely people. One more little beg. If you could send a few quid over to me in appreciation of the show, I'll spend it wisely. Thanks to Mr. Richard Yates for kicking the pot off. Very much appreciated. It is PayPal. Now, a little confession. I'm still on Twitter. I kind of mentioned it last time. I'm not really very active on Twitter. I'm probably going to take the pee a little bit and put the request for a donation on Twitter, because I've still got 1,100 followers on there, although I think only about 500 are real people, because I don't feel like I can put that, because I announced the show on MeWe, and I don't really feel comfortable asking for money on MeWe because it's Steve and Ted's deal. I'll probably put it on Twitter. The reason I've kept my Twitter account is a very, very weak reason, and that is I have a PUBG mobile character linked to it that's got a pretty decent profile and a pretty decent score on it, and I don't want to lose it, which is about the shallowest thing I can actually think of. But I do glance at it every now and again. Actually, one of the guys in our back group, Rich, he does say a few things that I look at and take on board, is that we shouldn't, if we enjoy Twitter and we still enjoy it, then we shouldn't necessarily let one twat put us off. So I'm giving that a thought as well by staying on there, I suppose. But yeah, I'll admit.
To be honest, I mean, I have hacked back the number of people I follow on Twitter. You still get a ridiculous amount of spam.
I now
seem to have an extraordinary selection of new, bold, young Russian ladies following me, which is a bit novel.
Sorry,
ladies, you're about 40.
I think that must be a reference from a certain friend of ours that we won't name, actually. But
Possibly so. But actually, the worst of it seems to have calmed down a bit.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not what it was. If I get more intelligent conversation, I tend to go to Mastodon.
Yeah, I don't know what you think. I don't think I would want to go on Threads and Mastodon and ask for money. It doesn't seem like that's right, but it doesn't seem terrible to do it on Twitter.
I suppose it seems terrible, but it depends on how many people are actually following you on either.
And I don't think people would want to know. Whereas on Twitter, probably most of the people that listen to this still follow me. Whether they won't see much from me anymore, but I've stopped getting involved in conversations that would lead to a nasty experience on there because I'm not really interested.
I think all of these. I'm talking about Richie's going about, all I ever see on Mastodon is this, that, the other. And I think I never see any of this. But the thing is, what you've got to do is follow a number of people that you're interested
and
only read that side of it. If you read everything, it's like anywhere, you're going to get loads of stuff that you're not interested in.
Absolutely. Someone at work the other day said, you don't use TikTok, you've got to get it. And I'm like, no, not installing it, not ever listening to it.
There aren't hours in the day, are there?
Same with Instagram Reels, actually. There's a couple of guys in our back channel that post a lot of those, and I just sort of shrug, and I never see any of them.
To be honest, I'm not even the slightest bit interested in them.
I never see a single one, because I don't have an objection to clicking something that I'm not joined to, but you can't seem to watch them without joining.
I've got an Instagram account, but my problem with them is firstly time, but also they're not massively social, are they? You sit there with your other half and you start watching somebody else's Instagram. It don't go down very well, does it?
As long as you've got headphones on, you're probably safe, I guess. But absolutely. But
get badly wrong though.
If you can afford a couple of quid, it goes without saying. I can't really afford a couple of quid at the minute. I can afford a couple of quid, but don't send it if you can't afford it. That goes without saying, I hope. But if you can, then it is lovely. It is paypal.me/KevWright2002. That's KevWright 2002. You'll see a rather attractive picture of me with headphones on to prove that it is the right person. And that is all. Thank you very much. We'll see you in
It's not quite all. Because you don't have to donate 50 quid. Anything will be helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is no upper or lower amount, I think it's fair to say.
Exactly. every little helps to nip something.
Yeah, I mean, I still think, if literally everybody listening donated at least a couple of quid, then I'd be more than chuffed with that, and could probably get these bloody things to stick on my arm for 3 or 4 months. So that would be fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
It'd make a bit of difference for you, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
The reason that I donated, apart from the fact that you're my mate, is because I want to keep you going so we can keep doing the podcast. So
absolutely.
It's not a threat, folks. No, if not, you'll be left with just me.
And I don't know whether anyone cares, but most of the time, going back a few years, I would say to you twice a year, at least twice a year, I think we're gonna ditch TTUK. I think we're going to dump it. And you'd always talk me out of it or whatever. And do you know what? This year's been no different. There's been a couple of times when I've thought, I'm going to ditch this. And you know what I think back to? It's like, no, quite a few people sent me a donation last year. So if we're going to ditch it, the only time we're going to ditch it is in March, because I'm not going to take people's money and then ditch it after a couple of months. So, yeah, it is a way of showing appreciation, but it's also a way of guaranteeing the thing carries on.
To be honest as well, I mean, I don't, you probably get more or less than I do, but periodically I get such a nice note from somebody and you think, we're not wasting our time. Those people are actually happy to listen. So
don't get anywhere near enough of those. Don't get enough, but there's never too many of those. Yeah. If you can't afford to send any money, then send me a comment. It's KevWright2002 again @gmail.com. So I think most people know that. Absolutely. Perfect. That is great. It's a lovely, is a lovely chap in the States. Won't name him, but there's a lovely, lovely fella in the States. You'll know who I'm talking about.
He
sends me $2 or $3 two or three times a year. And, you know, I know he's a retired fella, probably hasn't got a lot of money. You know, it's just lovely. And it's really nice to hear from him. And yeah, that's just nice. You know, he knows he's doing his bit and that is brilliant. Ooh. So, yeah, paypal.me/KevWright2002. I thank you in advance. And there will only be one more mention or one more ask of this, which will be on 2 weeks' time. Sure. 2 weeks' time, yeah, absolutely. Which will be pretty close to my birthday. Not quite my birthday.
Yeah, it's close to your birthday, isn't it?
Not a million miles away. Yeah, getting close, getting close. That's early March, so I won't give you...
Then you'll be as old as me, Kev.
Then I will be as old as you. There is a little brief period of time. We are in it right now where you are officially older than I am.
Yeah. Well, it's about 6 months, isn't it? Because my birthday is in September.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is a six-month period. Yeah, and then I catch you
Indeed.
Up.
Indeed.
All right, lovely. Thanks, mate. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We will see you in fortnight. Cheers.
Yep.
Bye. Bye-bye.